Romans chapter 3 this morning. I want to look at the topic of good works. Romans chapter 3. Before we look at that, we do need to cover this. And to keep what we're going to talk about in perspective. There seems to be a lot of confusion in the body of Christ sometimes about the place of grace and the place of works and all this. And I just wanted to just look at a few verses related to that topic of how grace and works fit together very, very well. And one of the main parts of confusion which is prevalent in the Christian world is that there's a belief that you have to do a lot of good things. You know, you witness to people and they'll say things to you, well, I'm a good person, I try to take care of people, I try to help people, and I'm, you know, how often have you heard that I just try to live a good life, do this, and I'm just hoping that that'll be enough for whatever's required afterwards, you know, mm-hmm. basically doing good things. And that is not accurate, as we know. So to cover that first, in Romans chapter 3, verse 19, it reads, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Mm-hmm. All of it. It doesn't matter if you think you were a good person or not. All the world, as far as God is concerned, was guilty. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. I missed one. I skipped a verse, sorry. Yeah. But now the righteousness of God, pardon me, without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, but through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? This is a good question. Because of all this that Jesus Christ has accomplished on behalf of all mankind, does that leave room for anybody to boast, is the question. Right? Well, by what law? Where is boasting? It's excluded. There's no room for boasting. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. So there is nothing that anybody could do or could have done as far as it comes to works to gain what Jesus Christ did. And that line has to be very, very clear in the mind of the believer before we start talking about the topic of good works. There is nothing that you or I could do to improve the salvation that Jesus Christ brought, the redemption that he brought, the sonship that he brought available, the eternal life that was made available, us by being seated in the heavenlies. And you know, there's many, many, many things that are tied to the work of Jesus Christ that have nothing to do with you or me. You know, and that's very, very clear. That's why, you know, by him we have been justified. And look at chapter 5 of Romans. Romans 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heard that in the manifestations today. by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. It was not by the obedience of many, right? It was by the obedience of one. That was Jesus Christ. Because all the world was guilty, we couldn't do it. So he is the one that accomplished it. So it was the obedience by one, Jesus Christ. By that man's obedience and by what he did, our Lord did, we have access to all the blessings. And therefore, we now stand in the grace of God. We stand. And that is just a very, very brief look at our standing by the works done by Jesus Christ. So now we get to this point where we're standing in the grace. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We close off on this. We must read this. Papers everywhere. Ephesians chapter 2. You know, and this is something you could just preach that for the rest of your life, and people could get very, very blessed by that very knowledge that they don't have to do anything in terms of works in order to get to the point where they make Jesus their Lord and get benefit by believing God raised him from the dead, to get benefit of all that he did, that he worked hard for. Ephesians 2:8. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you saved, there it is, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's how sometimes people use that verse, say, well, it's not nothing, I don't have to do any works, there are no works to be done. Right. Yeah, you're right. There are no works to be done for salvation. There are no works to be done to get righteous. There are no works to be done to become redeemed, to have eternal life, to know that you're going to be with the Lord forever. There are no works to be done for that. Absolutely true. But that does not mean that there are no works to be done. Period. That's where the distinction is. Verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we are, according to what God says, we are his workmanship, created unto good works. So there are works to be done. And I have heard people say, and we'll look at a few more verses, people say things like, well, it's all by grace. Everything that you have or will have is all by grace. Yeah, it's true. It is by the grace of God that God makes available everything. And certainly salvation of man, redemption, all that we looked at is by the grace of God, because it's nothing to do with us. But after we are saved, after we have been made righteous, and after we know we have eternal life, what then? It says there, according to Ephesians 2:10, in Christ Jesus, unto good works. So how about those? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that's what I wanted to just look at. It is certainly mentioned a great deal in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a very key section to understand on this topic. 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, for we are laborers, and you're going to see a lot of words a lot of these verses we read, they're going to be about work and about laboring and things you do. You know, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And we just read that. We had nothing to do with the foundation of Jesus Christ being laid. That was all by the work of Jesus Christ. So, you know, Paul, by revelation, writes here, there's no man can lay the foundation of Jesus Christ. That was Jesus Christ's work. And therefore, all believers, all mankind, every man, woman, and child who gets born again starts on the foundation of Jesus Christ, which is an amazing foundation. righteous, redeemed, justified, sanctified, set apart for heaven, right? Seated at the right hand of God, rights, privileges, abilities, all the blessings that God admitted. That's an amazing foundation. And Paul writes here by Revelation, no man can lay that. That was done by Jesus Christ. But it doesn't stop there. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, is there work? Is there room for work? According to God's word, there sure is. That work does not build the foundation of Jesus Christ, which is given to every man once they get born again. But here, he writes, well, once you have that, now you build on that. And he's saying, take heed how you build upon that foundation. Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, so there is building on this, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. So, whatever you build upon, whoever does the building on this foundation of Jesus Christ, the Word of God says that you can build things on it for which you will get reward, or you can build things on it for which you will get nothing. No reward. Because one man gets a reward, the other man suffers loss. And yet, still, true to what he said about the foundation of Jesus Christ, the rest of that verse says, yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So when the trial, when it's tried, you don't lose the foundation of Jesus Christ. You have salvation. That's very, very clear. But there is a building that goes on upon this foundation of Jesus Christ. And here, God says, you need to be careful what you build upon that foundation. What is that? What is the building that we do on this? Look at John 14. John 14. I mean, we all do things every day, don't we? We're doing something. Even if it's just watching TV all day, we're doing something. You are doing what are called works. John 14, 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So, you're going to see a lot of the work that you and I do, that's to be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, should line up with the kind of works Jesus Christ did. I'm not talking about the kind of works he did to bring salvation, but the kind of works he did while he was here. What did Jesus Christ do? And there's two very, very basic categories of life that he ministered in. Number one, he taught God's word. He said it at the end of his life, I've given them thy word. Thy word is true. And he did that. So let's say you and I share God's word with somebody. Would that be a good work? Absolutely. Does that make God love you more? Does that improve your salvation? Does it improve your righteousness? Does it improve your completeness? How can you improve completeness? Mm-hmm. Yet, it is a good work. What's something else Jesus Christ did? He brought deliverance. Wasn't that his whole ministry? He taught God's word and he brought deliverance. And someone was praying tonight about deliverance mentally, physically, spiritually, in all areas of life. So you think about life. Doesn't life pretty much boil down to those areas? What does the word bring to you? It brings you purpose. It brings you hope. It brings you a reason for being here. It brings you comfort. It brings you understanding of life. It shows you how to live your life, whether you're working or you're married or you're single, or whatever. That is what that's what the word teaches you, and there's much, much more. So if you have that, and you have the ability to walk with God and God's power to bring deliverance, I mean, I pretty much, you are set for your life to be able to help anybody in the world with anything. True? So the good works that Jesus Christ did in making God's word known and then bringing deliverance to people, anything we do in that category of life is going to be a good work that builds on the foundation that we all have of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 4. Acts 4. This is about the healing of the man at the gate. And this is what it says about it in Acts 4, where are we? 9. If we this day be examined of the what? What does it say? Good deed done to the impotent man, by what means be he is made whole. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And God calls that a good deed. Well, there's very clearly in the category of good works. You want to do good works? Bring deliverance to people. God calls that a good deed. In Acts 26. Acts chapter 26. Yeah, the more I look at God's word on this topic, it's very, very open-ended what the good works are. I mean, you think about anything that has to do with teaching and making God's word known or living what the word of God tells you, there's a lot. There's a lot that you can do in life, you know, to build on the foundation of Jesus Christ. In Acts 26, verse 20. Let's read verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but has showed first unto them of Damascus and of Jerusalem, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance, or indicative of them having gotten saved, or that they repented. So the works that they were to do after they got born again were to show that they now were born again, that they now had repented. You think about that, you know, and the ESV says, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance. And most of the other versions say the same thing. You know, there's a lot of ways that you as a believer, you and I as believers live that are indicative or show the repentance that we have. There's a lot of things in the Word that talks about this, that be ready always to give an answer to every man. How about that? No. Of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, be always ready. To always ready to what? Always looking for opportunity to speak God's Word. Does the world, by and large, do that? Is that what they're about? No, but we are, because we're born again. We have eternal life. So why would I want to tell somebody about that? Speaking God's word. I was reading this the other day and I was thinking about this very hard. It is hard to believe that you actually represent God to man. Wherever you go, Jesus Christ spoke the word of God. You have Christ in you. So you, when people see you, you are the same way when the Bible says that no man saw God at any time, but the Lord Jesus Christ has declared him. Who do you declare? And some days you might just feel not so good about something you might have done or did or thought about. That, you know what? Did I really represent God to this situation? Is that really how God would have wanted to be represented in this situation? And, you know, and some days the answer is no. But guess, you know, there's always tomorrow. I mean, you're going to build on this foundation. Surely the works that you build that are built on the foundation that are according to God's word will earn a reward. That reward that you get, is that by grace? No. It's by work. It's by work. If you don't do that work, you don't get that reward. That's what 1 Corinthians 3, is that what it says?
Yep.
You should suffer loss. Loss means no reward. You know, so you have one life to live and to give. One, that's it. You don't get many. You know, you have one life, as opposed to what the religions think. You can only get one. one life to live. So the foundation, what are we going to build on that foundation? You don't get to do it again. Colossians chapter 1. Again, this is a very, really, you know, and I've heard all kinds of stuff, you know, where, you know, yeah, take it easy, relax now, you don't have to do anything, you're born again, you're living the grace, it's by grace, don't worry about it, it's by grace, you know. And then you read the other side, which we'll, I think we might read the verse later, Paul wrote, but because of grace, he worked harder than anybody. That's what it says. I labored more abundantly than them all because of grace. Patrick sometimes works really hard because of grace. Colossians.
I couldn't help myself.
Chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Prayer for them that they would be fruitful at every good work, the works that they did. What? To earn salvation? No, it's because they had it. And they were. You live as a believer. When you go into situations as a believer, you're the one that brings hope to those situations. You're the one that brings deliverance. You're the one that brings understanding to those situations. Because you represent the Lord Jesus Christ and you represent God. That's what you bring. That's what our whole life is about. That's what it talks about in Paul's writing. You know, they would do works meet for repentance. That's how they were to turn their lives around and now live that way. Right. In Titus chapter 1, this is a great section in Titus. Titus chapter 1. Verse 15 of Titus says, unto the pure all things are pure, and unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They didn't show that by their actions that they believed God. And here you could actually put a whole section here if you want to. We don't have time to look at it. But if you look at James, where it talks about faith without works is dead. Remember that? And we don't have time. Maybe we'll look at that someday. But then it says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was justified by faith. But James says faith without works is dead. And basically, if you read those sections together, you'll see what James is saying is that when you believe God, you act like you believe God. You walk like you believe God. You don't say you believe God and then don't do anything that shows that you believe God. If you put those two together. So I didn't want to talk about that, but it's definitely in this topic. Chapter 2, verse 1. But speak thou the things. Now here, he talks a lot here about how we live our lives indicative of the repentance that we have. That's what Titus 2 talks about here. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. And we looked at it last week, the importance of sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Talks about older men. You're supposed to be these things. Grave, serious, sober, temperate, sound in believing, in charity, in walking in the love of God, being patient, aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. All this kind of stuff would now get you jailed, most likely. But that's what the Word of God says. This is how you live as a believer. You know, verse 5, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands. Boy, that will get you fired or shot or hung or something. That the word of God be not blasphemed. We don't care. Should we care? I don't care. We don't care. We don't care what the world thinks of God's word. That's not a standard we're even interested in. In verse 6, young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of what? What does it say? Of good works. You do good works. You know, why? To get saved? No. Because you are a believer. That's your life. You do good works. You speak and teach God's word. You bring deliverance. You know when it says there, be kind to one another, in Ephesians. Well, when you're kind to one somebody else, is that a good work? Absolutely. When Paul the apostle wrote, pray for me. When you pray for him or pray for, is that a good work?
Yes.
Absolutely. These are all things the word of God makes available to us. Everything we have is by grace. But once you're saved, God says, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's the way that we're to live our lives. In verse 7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity. Are we serious about the doctrine of Jesus Christ in our lives? Even if we're young people or older people. You know, it can be anywhere from, 8-9 years old to 109 years old. Doesn't matter. We take the doctrine of the Word of God seriously. This is our life. This is not something that we just do as a hobby on Sunday. This is our life. So when people see you there, that person is serious about Jesus Christ. I want to know what that person has. Why do they always say that they're thankful, they're positive? Why do they always seem to have an answer for everything? Why do they always seem to be at peace no matter what happens around them? That's the kind of person I want to be. That's the kind of person the Word of God exhorts us to be. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. Verse 8. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Jesus Christ told him, I'm going to give you a mouth your adversaries cannot resist. A mouth no one's going to be able to talk you down. Why? Because you have Christ in you. You represent God and the Lord Jesus Christ wherever you go. Sound speech. No one can point a finger at you. Sound speech that cannot be condemned. That he made, verse 9, exhort servants to be obedient unto their masters, own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Look at the call to the believer. The way you're to live. I know Titus is written to leadership. I understand that. But the call to believers, for us to understand and learn how we're to live. The way to live is applicable to all believers. Yeah, in this case, Titus was a leader, and he was definitely, he was to set an example. But certainly, the doctrine here is talking to young men, old men, all people. Looking verse 13, for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, which is not translated properly, it reads, looking for the happy hope and appearing of the glory of the great God and of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. No. Anybody ever tells you there's nothing? No, there's no works. Works is gone. They're not understanding what the Word of God says to them, to the church. There it says zealous of good works. And I tell you, that's why we strive with Romans 3 and Romans 5 and Ephesians 2, is because you need to keep that clear. It is not because you're going to earn anything in terms of salvation or redemption or all that. That's done by the work of the foundation that was laid in Jesus Christ. But on top of that, look at all the Word of God exhorts us to. Here it says, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. I think it's pretty clear what the Word of God says to us as believers. We're to be interested, excited, zealous of good works, maintain good works, do works indicative of the repentance that God has given to us when he gave us that foundation that was laid in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We must all appear before the judgment. This is that word bema, which means, you know, where the rewards were given, of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. According to that he hath done. Is that grace or is that work?
It's work.
It's work. According to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. That's exactly along the lines of what Corinthians said. Everyone appears. You don't stand there with your spouse. You don't stand there with your family. You don't stand there with... You stand there. You, everyone. Everyone appears for the things that he or she hath done, whether it be good or bad. That means there are good things you can do, and then there are bad things you can do. Yeah? We should be zealous of good works. Zealous and careful to maintain good works. Always ready to give an answer to every man. Living sincerely, justly, soberly, all the words, all the things that Titus talked about. Because this is going to happen. Someday, you are going to be there. And you're going to stand there. And you're going to get a reward for the good things that you've done and built on the foundation of Jesus Christ. This is going to happen. Do you think, you know, if you really 100% believe this with all your heart, every single moment of every day, wouldn't that change the way you live? You certainly would. And isn't that a message that people out there should want to hear? Do you have something that we can say to people? Absolutely. Look at Galatians chapter 6. A few more verses. Again, as I mentioned, there's much on this topic, but... Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Sowing and reaping. Is that grace or is that work? It's a work. That he soweth. "For he that soweth to his flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, shall reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing." Is that grace or work? Well-doing. There's a hint in there. Do work. Well doing. "For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have opportunity, therefore let us do good unto all, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." So every opportunity we get to help a believer, we take it. We take that opportunity to do it. In Hebrews 6:10, this is, I always remember this very easy, because Galatians 6:10 and Hebrews 6:10 talk about the exact same thing. There's a little memory hint. Hebrews 6:10. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. "For God is not unrighteous to forget your..." This is pretty clear. Work. It doesn't say He's not unrighteous to forget his grace. He's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor. I told you, work, labor. Work and labor, all in the category of things you do. Work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Exactly what Galatians said. Especially unto them who are of the household of faith. God is not going to forget that work. Now, if we've never done that work, there is nothing for him to remember. Right? Makes his life easier. So your job, my job, is to make him work very hard to try and forget a lot of things. Right? Yeah, he's not going to forget them. God is not that way. We'll close in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this verse 10 says, but by the grace of God, this is the verse I was talking about before, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And that's for sure true. You are what you are, all by the grace of God, because no man can do it. All the world was guilty before God. Jesus Christ did it on your behalf. That's by the grace of God. You are what you are, which is a believer, seated in the heavenlies, you know, redeemed, righteous, on the way to heaven. By the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. So if he had not worked after he had received the grace of God, then it would have been in vain. Isn't that what it says? It wasn't in vain. I mean, yeah, you get to say you're saved, of course, that's true. But grace is not to be used by believers as an excuse to not do anything. It's not to be used as an excuse to say, well, it's by grace, here we are in the grace, and we don't have to do anything. Paul didn't do that. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. This is just wonderful, because when you work hard and you have grace, it gives you... If you fail, it's not a problem. God doesn't say, you know, success, or you do this everything perfectly. That's not what he says, right? That's why you'll see in a lot of the leadership epistles, they always start off with mercy. The first true, mercy, you know, forgiveness and all these things that you need. But grace allows you, it gives you a real wonderful canopy in which to fail if you need to. And that's a wonderful way to live. And then finally in verse 58, we'll just read the last verse of the section. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren and sister, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. Work. In the work. And it is work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor, there is labor, work, all these words all over the place, is not in vain in the Lord. That is, those works that you build upon the foundation of Jesus Christ will not be in vain. You will receive a reward. You know, and if you're, you know, if you get the opportunity to speak to believers, because you'll hear it, you know, but oh, it's not of works, don't worry, no more, there's nothing but, it's not works anymore, it's just grace. Well, that's not what the Word of God says. Yes, it's grace. Very clearly it's grace to the point of the foundation of Jesus Christ and all you get. But after that, there's work to be done. Works that are built upon that foundation so others can hear the Word of God. Others can get deliverance. The same walk that Jesus Christ had to bring the Word to people and to bring deliverance. You and I have the same calling. You know, he even said it. Look, the works that I'm doing, you guys are going to do also. So we don't ever want to get to the point in our lives where we think that, you know, because we're born again now, we have the grace of God, we can just coast and take it easy and relax. And there's no time in life for that. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. So, there you have.
You should start working.